Sorry, day the tour, Robert Yitzifold.
Good morning. Beshus, Chashvatsimu. I'd just like to thank Menachem David for giving me the opportunity to share some Divrei Torah. I spend the best part of my day in the Kollel, called Kollel Deonos, and over there we focus on Choshe Mishpat, on monetary matters. And today I want to discuss a very, very interesting shaila, a very interesting story, and try and attempt to go through some different sources and see if we can come out with an attempted psak. The story goes as follows. Reuven Baruch Hashem, he made a very successful business deal. A very, very successful business deal, and had a very large amount of cash. He had £20,000 of cash, and he was storing this money underneath his mattress. And after a very tiresome negotiation to get to push the business deal through, he felt like he needed a holiday. So he phoned his travel agent, booked a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't know what to do with his money. So he knew he had a friend, Shimon, who had a very, very secure safe. And he approached Shimon and said to Shimon, "Shimon, would you please do me the honor of looking after my money in your safe?" And Shimon said, for you, Reuven, an old friend, anything for you. Reuven handed him over the briefcase, and Shimon took the briefcase of money, and he left it open, because he was about to transfer it into the safe, and he put it on his kitchen table. Shimon got distracted, and he left it on the kitchen table, and he didn't put it in his safe, and he went upstairs to bed. That night, sadly, there was a geneva in Shimon's house. Shimon woke up in the morning, he came downstairs and there was a big draft. There was wind coming from something must have been open. And he sees the front door open and he runs towards the table. He realizes what he's done and the money is nowhere to be seen. He goes and searches the rest of the damage in the house and he sees there that not only did they swipe the money from the table, they had cleaned out the entirety, the whole contents of the safe. So the question that we're going to have to deal with at the moment is, on the one hand, Shimon was requested to put the money in the safe. That was what was expected of him, that was the agreement. And he breached that agreement. He left it on the table, he was negligent. But his negligence didn't have much significance, because even if he would have acted correctly and properly and he would have placed the money in the safe, then the money in the safe, everything got taken from the safe. Is a shomer chinam, this person Shimon, he did this shmir for free. Would a shomer chinam in such an instance, would he be responsible to reimburse the Reuven? Now just to introduce, what is a Shomer Chinam? A Shomer Chinam is a person, a Baal Chesed, who agrees to look after something for someone for free. Now what are the parameters of his Chiyuvim? How far reaching are his Chiyuvim? Pshia. Oh, very good. So a Shomer Chinam is responsible for Pshia. Definition of Pshia is negligence. He's expected to guard it in a certain way, and if you make an agreement with him, keep the agreement. And if he breaches that, then he'd be chayev. That's exactly the topic which we're going to be discussing at the moment. The Shulchan Aruch in Choshe Mishpat brings two examples. Maybe there's more, but the two that I want to focus on and bring out today. And one exception, and a clause in the exception. We'll just go through those two cases, those two examples. There was a person, the gentleman over there, he mentioned a concept called Tchilosei B'Pshia V'Soifei B'Oinos. Now, Tchilosei B'Pshia V'Soifei B'Oinos, I'll first tell over the cases, the stories, and then we'll explain the dynamic of this chiyuv. It's a very interesting concept. It sounds like tchilosei b'bshir. You're starting off with something that he did something negligent, and then in the end, what's the definition of an oinos? The definition of an oinos, I saw a great definition in the art scroll, is an unavoidable loss. That's the definition of an oinos, an unavoidable loss. So Shoma started off by doing something stupid, and then eventually an unavoidable loss happened to the item. We'll bring it out with the cases the Shulchan Aruch discusses. The first case the Shulchan Aruch brings is a situation where a gentleman was asked to look after some money, similar to our case. And the Gemara says that the place where a person is supposed to keep money is deep in the ground. He's supposed to dig a hole, put the money there, and store the money there because it's safe. Ein shmir k'sofim ela b'karka. Now, this chap, what did he do? He took the money, and instead of placing the money in the ground, he took the money and placed it in the wall of a wooden hut. Now, the Gemara says that this shmira, that this shema did by placing the money in the wall of a wooden hut, is actually a sufficient shmira, and it's safe from theft. It is, but from fire, from the hut being burnt down to the ground, it's not sufficient. The Gemara says that in this instance where the Shema placed the money in the thickness of the wall, of the wooden hut, where he was supposed to put it in the ground, and he left the money vulnerable to being burnt, what happened? Actually, Ganovim came and they stole the money from the hut. In this instance, where he was poishea in the beginning by not putting the money in the correct place, even though the money that got stolen eventually was completely unthinkable that it would get stolen in this place, but due to his initial negligence of not acting correctly and not putting the money in the correct place, even though what actually happened finally, what was the resulting situation, he is going to be responsible to reimburse the owner of the money. And the reasoning is slightly hard to understand, because it's hard to understand. He did a pshia in the beginning, he was negligent in the beginning, but he wasn't the cause of the eventual loss of the item. So why are we being machmir on this gentleman and saying that he should be chayv? We'll leave that question open for the moment. But that's the first example given in the Shulchan Aruch. A person was supposed to put money in the ground, he put it in the wall of a wooden hut, left it vulnerable to fire, and it got stolen. Even though it was an oinus that got stolen, since he was poshei in the beginning, he's chayv. Second example. There was a person who was entrusted with a cow. What? Yeah, but he's moida what happened. But what's his migul? Well, what do you mean?
Put it in the wall,
the same,
the wall.
Yeah.
But that also got stolen.
Yeah.
The same, put it in there, and got stolen from there. So you can
pop. No, but we're saying that even though what happened was an oinos, everyone agrees the situation, what happened was an oinos. Nevertheless, since he was poshea in the beginning, that's enough to be mechayev him. Since he was negligent in the beginning, by not putting it in the correct place, where was he supposed to put it? He was supposed to put it in the ground. Right, so we'll leave that case. That was one case. The second case given is a case where a person was supposed to be looking after a cow. And he was supposed to keep the cow on the grounds of the farm. And what did he do? He was negligent, he was an irresponsible gentleman, and he let the cow wander out of the farm. And what happened? The cow wandered out of the farm, and it was attacked by wild animals, and it was killed. Now, in this instance, what happened? He was poshea in the beginning. He didn't lock the door of the farm. And the animal exited, and it was approached by wild animals that even had the shema, let's say, accompanied the animal outside of the farm to try and protect the animal from the attack, the vicious attack of the animals, or had this attack taken place on the farm, the shema wouldn't have been able to overcome the wild animal. The fact that the wild animal killed the cow is an oinos, it's unavoidable loss. But since the shema was initially negligent, yeah, we've always got two pieces of the story. There was his initial irresponsible negligence, and the later oinos, the shema is going to be chayav. Now, the explanation given for this is that when a person is poshea in the beginning, then we are allowed to assume that the cause that the cause that resulted, that the cause of the resulting onus was due to his negligence. Just to put that from Chinese into English. Let's go to the case where the person would put the money in the wall of the wooden hut. Yeah? This person was supposed to... Where was the guy supposed to put the money? The guy was supposed to put the money in the ground. Now, where did the robbers, where did the ganovim, where did they come and look? They came and looked in the walls of the hut, and they found the money. And we said finding money in the walls of a hut is an onus. Yeah? But where was he supposed to keep the money? He was supposed to keep the money in the ground. And had he acted responsibly and kept the money in the ground, then we can say, one second, this whole story might not have happened. Yeah? Is everyone clear? That this story might not have happened. And since the story might not have happened, and he initially was poishea, then we are allowed to say a massive chiddush, even though generally when it comes to hilchas mamonos, we never take money out of someone if we're not 100% sure if he's responsible. Since it could be that this gentleman's responsible, then nevertheless we are mechayev him. Have you got a question?
Isn't the idea of giving some shame like a tanai?
Yeah.
Is there some expectation? You give a shame, you give a shame, like a royer, who says, royer, there's some expectation. You're allowed to give it to your daughter because that's what. So, if you would have made a condition saying, don't put it in the ground, put it in the wall, and then you put it in the ground and it got stolen,
He is chayav in this situation.
I know, but generally speaking, you need to know, is when a shema gets something, is it like a tanai, that expectation, the way you're supposed to do is like a tanai?
The Torah just dictates what the shema is expected to do. The shema is expected to do, if he's not being paid for the shmira, he's expected to do a basic level of shmira. And that is... whatever is considered a normal shmira in this situation. They actually had a conversation about it in the case of our shayla, where they said, "Please put it in the safe." And that is very—it's logical that a person should be putting it in a safe place, and that's all that's expected of him. The case which you're mentioning from the Gemara, where a person gives something to someone, he can also let his family members look after it. That's another situation that's all based on umdanas and what people. Would be happy to do what people would be happy to have been done with their items, and they're very happy with that. Okay, so just to refocus back to our situation, we've brought in a concept of tchilase b'pshia v'soiv b'oinos that sounds very interesting, that we're being machmir on a shoma. When a shoma starts off and does something stupid, he does a pshia, and eventually the item gets left and gets destroyed by onus. What's the halacha? The halacha is that you're allowed to assume that he was the cause of the onus. That is the simple formula. A shoma is poshea in the beginning, in the end there's an onus. If we can link the onus that happened to his act, initial act, then we can say he's chayav. Now, what about a situation where a person was asked to look after a cow? And he took the cow into his farm, and just like the previous case, he didn't guard the cow from wandering out. And the cow wandered out, and he died on the outside of the fence of natural causes. What would the Olam say? Yeah, but on the one hand, he started off, he was poshea, he let the animal wander out, but the animal died outside the fence due to natural causes. Depends on which situation. It depends. The Mishnah discusses whether it was huchlak bahar, or it died of havla the har kotlin. If it died of something there, they would have died anyway, then he's not chayav. That's a very, very good question. That's something that was discussed in Kolo, that when you look after an item and then later on it dies, surely it shows that the item was worth less money because it died of natural causes. Then maybe you shouldn't be chayav for the full value of the animal, because it's revealed to us that the animal was worth less because it didn't have much time to live. It's a very, very, very complex issue that's dealt with, we've discussed. You could have called the vet if you kept... So I'll tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says a very interesting chiddush. The Gemara says that even though the shomer was pesher and the shomer let the animal wander out, and seemingly it's very similar to the previous cases that the animal wandered out and it died of natural causes, which is an onus, the Gemara says in such an instance the shomer is potter. The shomer is potter, because if the animal was going to die anyway, then we don't link back the responsibility of the shomer. If the animal was going to die anyway, we say the animal had an expiration date. It was supposed to die at 12:41 p.m. and therefore, irrespective of the fact that the shomer initially was pesher, the animal died on the outside, he was going to die anyway, he's potter. Now, what happens, just to add one more ingredient into the mix, if the shomer, same story, the shomer didn't watch the animal escaped and went out, and then what happened? A ganav stole the animal, and then what happened? The animal died of natural causes in the hand of the ganav. What do you say in such a situation? On the one hand, the animal was anyway going to die, and we just said if the animal was anyway going to die, then you're not mechayev the shomer. So what do you say in such a situation? What about being mechayev the ganav? The ganav's koiner it. The ganav's not here. He's ran off. The Gemara says in such a situation where the ganav stole it prior to the natural death of the animal, that the shomer's chayev. The reason why the shomer's chayev, because at that point in time, the second the ganav stole the animal, then the ganav stole the animal from a matzah of a pshia. The person was negligent, he never locked the farm, and the animal was stolen due to his negligence, therefore he's chayev. And at that point in time, we have to freeze frame the story, and we can no longer factor in what happened later on, and bring in other considerations. Okay, fine. So we got through the cases of Tchilas Eber Pshir, Vaseva Ba'onas, and Baruch Hashem, we survived. Hopefully I explained it clear enough. And let's try and think about our case. What happened? Our story. We said Reuven gave Shimon a big wad of geld, and Shimon was supposed to put it in the safe. He didn't put it in the safe. He put it on the table. And what happened? It got stolen. But not just the money from the table got stolen. The money from the safe got stolen. Yeah? So based on what we just learned, the last case that we just mentioned, we have to think about what order the money was stolen in Shimon's house. If the money was stolen from the table prior to the money in the safe being stolen, then the money was stolen b'pshia. It's exactly the same as the case where the ganav stole the animal from outside of the fence before the animal died of natural causes. That even though it was anyway going to get stolen from the safe, we can't factor in that fact because lemaisa it got stolen prior to that. So we've addressed the scenario if the money from the table got stolen first.
When is it chayav? When you steal it, when you go out of the house, or when you're still in the house?
It depends if you did a hagbah or if he did a... Oh, very good. So we're discussing, maybe you could think about if there was CCTV, maybe there was Adim. The Gemara discusses the case where you need Adim for something that went on in someone's house, and so on. So the neighbors maybe were looking.
You said that you got it in a case, and it's in the middle of the case.
Sorry? No, that was the shomer. The shomer placed the money on the table. Wasn't the ganav, yeah. Okay, so we've discussed.
The shomer did make a vote.
The shomer is definitely a shomer. That's not the question. The question is, what about the ganav? When did the ganav steal? What was the order of the events? Did the ganav steal? Sorry. So someone said that to me in Kogel. So you can think of a case where it's possible it happened the other way around. Could be they knew about the safe, they came, they broke into the safe, and when they finished with the money in the safe, they saw, oh, geschmack, some money on the table. No, maybe they broke in the front door. You never know. Yeah. We've got three possibilities that I wanted to try and get to in the short time that we have. Three possibilities. There's the possibility that the money on the table was stolen first. We've just addressed that, and we've paskan that if the money on the table was stolen first, it's similar to the fourth case that we mentioned, and the shomer is going to be chayav. You can't. Fine. Now, what happens if the money in the safe was stolen first? If the money in the safe was stolen first, then it would seem that we could possibly compare our case to the case of the third case, yes?
I don't want to get caught, but I just think that I see a difference that the money in the house is only one reshus.
Yeah.
Whereas the case with Ivy Gannon,
yeah,
is two reshus. You've got the reshus of the shomer, and you've got the reshus of the Gannon.
Therefore?
So the money in the house and in the safe is the Zelba Reifen. Just because it's in the safe and one's on the table doesn't make it into the shoes like you have with the gun and the shoe.
It could be touching upon a difference that we might get to within the allotted time. A very, very, very a subtle difference which might cause us some issues in making drawing a comparison. So we ask the question, what if the money in the safe was stolen first? Can we now say that, oh, look, the money was anyway going to get stolen because I was supposed to put it in the safe and the money was anyway going to get stolen, therefore I should be part of... Can we say that?
The safe was locked.
They broke it. Complete oinos. Yeah, that would also be a pshia. So the suggestion is that we've got a Gemara that seems to imply that when an oinos is anyway going to happen, then we don't link it back. We don't link it back to the shomer's initial pshia. What was the example of that case where the shomer was posha and he let the animal wander out and the animal died of natural causes? Since the eventual oinos happened and would have happened irrelevant of his actions, then we say he's potter. No, we're talking about the case where it died of natural causes. In the case where it died of natural causes, we said that the shomer is potter, even though he was initially poshea. So too, over here, maybe we should compare and say that if the shomer was initially poshea, but the eventual loss of the item would have anyway have happened, then it's surely similar to the case which the Gemara calls it Malach HaMavis, Mali Hocha, Mali Hoslam. The Malach HaMavis doesn't care where the person is. He could be out in the one side of the fence or the other side of the fence. The difference that maybe the gentleman over there was drawing, which I've seen brought down a chiluk in this case to our case, there's a very subtle difference. That in the case where the animal died of natural causes on the other side of the fence, what are we saying? What are we saying? We're saying that the shomer did not cause the death of the animal. On the death certificate of Daisy the cow, it does not say shomer. It does not say cause of death, shomer. In our case, the money was stolen from the table. Who caused the money from the table to be stolen? The shomer. We're trying to factor in an outside nakuda of it would have happened anyway. We're trying to downgrade the significance of his pshia by saying that alongside his pshia, lemaisa, it would have anyway have happened. So it's not a complete comparison. It's very hard to say that it's exactly the same. It shares the same common denominator. In both cases, the onus would have anyway have happened. But here, we're trying to call it an onus because it would have anyway have happened. But in actual fact, it was a pshia.
It would have anyway happened, so why can you
not? Oh, because the maisa, what took place, was a pshia. We're trying to downgrade this pshia by saying that it would have anyway have happened. That's the difficulty in comparing the two cases. So just to quickly try and slip in one more possibility. We've so far discussed what if the money on the table was stolen first. We passed on chayav. Then we discussed what if the money in the safe was stolen first. And we've said we potentially can compare it to the case of death of natural causes. But we said there's a potential difficulty. Now, let's entertain for a moment that you can compare it. And if the money was stolen from the safe first, you would pass the shomer. Let's take that on for a moment. What if, like probably most people assume the case was, that no one knew what was stolen first. And we have two options. We have an option that if it was stolen from the table first, then the shoyl would be chayav. And if it was stolen from the safe first, then the shoyl would be potter. What would you do in such a situation? Oh, so on the one hand, you would say, motzi mechavei olav areh. That would be the general practice. Oh, but the problem is, with a shoyma has to defend his alibi with a shvua. And when he can't make a shvua, there's something called mitoch she'ena yochel lishova meshalim. And when he can't make the shvua, he has to pay. Now, over here, what shvua would he have to make? He's suggesting that he's innocent. Now, one of the shvuas he has to make is that he wasn't negligent. And now, if he can't make the shvua that he wasn't negligent, because he's not sure if he was negligent or not, then he would have to pay. Now, the Noseh Kelim who take on this position is the Shach and the Sma. They bring a Trumas Adesh and that hold like this. But there is something that we have to factor in. Rav Kiva Eger says, there's a whole host of Rishonim that all argue. And Rav Kiva Eger says, in such a situation, you would be able to say, like Mr. Harris is suggesting, Hamotzi Michavei Olav Araya. Since there's a massive dispute whether we would say Mitoshi Enoch Lishav Mishalim in such a situation, which is beyond the scope of this current time frame, we have to explain why there's a machlokes in that situation. Either way, we'd come out that since it's a machlokes, whether you would say mitoich, if you're unsure, then you would not be mechayev the shema if you don't know which order it went round. The only problem is
that. So
that's it. You want to say maybe it's a different percentage sofik. We have to know if we can take that into consideration.
Was the same in the same room?
I'm not sure. Well, you have an akuda if it was.
No, because it isn't the same room. It was the money from the same room.
Yeah. It could be that was probably what would have happened if the safe would be in the same place. I agree. So just to finish off, there's a very, very strong question whether we can bechlal compare the whole case of the Truma Sedeshen. The case of the Truma Sedeshen is very befitting for Adar. It's quite a humorous case. There was a chap who came knocking on his neighbor's door. Yeah? We said there's a case the Truma Sedeshen has where a person can't defend himself and say that he doesn't know if he was Peshaya or not. What was the case over there? The case over there is, I'll just finish off with the case, I won't be able to get to the whole thing, it's very funny, is that the Shema, there was a person who was looking after some money, and his neighbour knocked on the door. And the neighbour said, I've lost my chicken. Can I come and have a look in your house for my chicken? And the Shema said, yes, definitely, most definitely, come into the house and have a look for the chicken. Now the Shema, who was looking after the money, where was he looking after the money? Where did he place the money? He placed the money in a secret hiding place underneath one of the beds. And that just so happened to be the place where the neighbor said, please, can I look for my chicken? And the neighbor looked for his chicken, and he went under the bed, and he couldn't find the chicken. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't find the chicken. A couple of days later, the Shema went and wanted to return the money to the mafkid. And oh, just by chance, there's no money underneath the bed. And he told the owner of the money, I'm really sorry, I don't know where the, I don't know what happened, I'm not sure. I agree that I let in someone unaccompanied to go and check underneath the bed for his chicken, so it could be that I'm responsible. So now, just to quickly draw a difference between our case and that case, in that case over there, by the Trumas Hadesh and Paskin, that since he cannot say for an absolute fact that he was not Peshaya, then therefore he's Chayav, and the Rav Kiva Eger says he argues in such an instance, we want to suggest that maybe Rav Kiva Eger would agree in our situation that it's different. Why? In that case over there, what are the two possibilities that happened? There's possibility A, which everyone probably assumes happened, that the chicken searcher took the money. That's possibility A. Possibility B is that prior to the person coming to look for his chicken, the money was actually stolen by Inus. And therefore, when he let the shoma, the neighbor in, he wasn't actually being negligent with that person's money.
The person under the bed is not negligent?
No, in that case it was sufficient. In that case it was sufficient. Yeah, no, it was a unique situation. So in that situation, just to finish off, it's a clear sophic whether there was bichlal a pshia. Yeah? Everyone's clear on that? There's a suffix whether the bichlal was a pshia. Maybe the money was stolen by us before he let the neighbor in. And if so, there was no pshia. He might have been an idiot for letting his neighbor in to look underneath the bed unaccompanied. But in our case, no one can argue the guy leaving £20,000 on a table is a pshia. Therefore, it's going to have a different din, and we're going to have to leave the rest for another time. What happened in that story? So we had to find out what was the outcome. What was the seidat for? Yeah.